As one way to boost the overall expertise of the military's cyber teams, Congress and DOD have been experimenting with ways to recruit talent from the private sector, turning civilians into commissioned officers with just a few months of military training. But the flow of new officers is still at a trickle. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about this in this week's edition of the DOD's Reporter's Notebook, and he joins me now. Sounds like a great way to get into this, Jared. No real basic training in crawling through the mud. So why aren't more people taking them up on it?
A little bit of that, and actually you'll remember we talked about this just a few months ago when the Army first started its direct commissioning program for cyber officers, and we were kind of scratching our heads about how many people they were actually going to get to sign up based on the fact that they're only really allowed to bring people in at an entry level in terms of officer rank. So they're bringing people in as first lieutenants and second lieutenants, which, as we talked about at the time, that base pay in that area is around $40,000, not including housing allowances. And it turns out that indeed has been a concern. Lieutenant General Paul Nakasone, who's currently the commander of Army Cyber Command and the nominee to be the commander of U.S. Cyber Command, testified just last week that is turning out to be an issue. He said that they need the ability to give greater constructive credit to folks that are, for example, big data experts or forensic malware experts. To bring people of that caliber in, they need to be able to do so at a higher rank, not just higher pay, importantly, I think, but higher rank, because there is a sense of mission and a sense of serving your country here as well. So I think you probably need both of those things. But he did identify that as a major concern, because the folks that the Army is looking for in its case are, I mean, they're going after people who have four-year degrees, who have master's degrees, who have doctorates in fields where industry is paying, you know, six-figure salaries: computer scientists, DevOps engineers, data scientists. The sorts of people that they want to help lead the cyber teams are also obviously in very high demand throughout government and throughout industry. So
yeah, because what they used to pay recently graduated lawyers, they now pay recently graduated cyber people and coders.
That's right. And the military has figured out to do this for doctors, for chaplains, for lawyers, and bring them in at very high ranks, up to the rank of captain or colonel. But that has not quite happened in the case of cyber experts for reasons that are not entirely clear. The Navy, we should say, has had a similar program up for much longer, and the authority that Congress extended for the rest of the military services to run their own direct commissioning programs has existed for the Navy since 2010. And I think the numbers there are pretty striking. I was able to find out that they've only been able to bring in 25 new officers with that direct commissioning authority since they actually started bringing people in that way in 2011, the following year after they got the authority. And just to put that in context, the U.S. Naval Academy expects to graduate 30 new officers to be cyber experts in the class of 2019 alone. So for whatever combination of reasons, this direct commissioning route does not seem to be working terribly well.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. Could part of it be, I guess, cultural? Because if you are already a mid-level officer, captain, colonel in the military services, you've been in a long time, you might have seen some tough duty, and you're now commanding large numbers of people, perhaps, you know, scores or hundreds of people, maybe even thousands in some cases. And if someone comes in directly to that level from outside and they are a keyboard jockey in cybersecurity, there could be some real meshing of gears there culturally that might be hard to overcome.
Yeah, it's an interesting hypothesis, and I don't think it's wrong, but I don't think we have the numbers yet to be able to say the degree to which that's true, just because the pipeline is so small for now until they can get some more authorities. And then I should say the Navy actually raised this also in a hearing a couple months ago. And they do have, again, the Navy has some additional unique authorities here. Congress has allowed them to give up to 3 years of constructive credit for skills and expertise and education that people bring in from the outside. But that doesn't get you very far. That only takes you, in the case of the Navy, up to the rank of a lieutenant. And that's still in kind of the $40,000 initial salary range, which, again, sense of mission, sense of duty, sense of wanting to serve your country. But as a practical matter, I think it's very difficult for most people to justify to themselves and to their families that they're going to take a big step down in pay once they're already in the field. And one other point I should point out here, the Air Force, which also has this new authority, just like the Army, doesn't even seem to be trying to use it to bring in people from the outside. They announced their program just a few weeks ago, and essentially what they're going to do is use it for people who are already in the enlisted ranks of the Air Force to train them and give them commissions in sort of the same way they would do officer training school for cyber experts. Rather than using the authority to bring in people from the outside, they're going to use it to make officers out of enlisted personnel who already have cyber expertise. So in that case, not a huge salary downgrade, probably a bit of a salary upgrade, in fact.
Sure. And getting back to the Navy, sort of, you're reporting that the Marine Corps is the latest of the services to have this dedicated series of occupational specialties for cyber. What are they doing?
Certainly a related item, and it's really this recognition, I think, that we've heard from the military services for a long time, that if they're going to hang on to the cyber experts that they already have, they need to allow them to make an entire career out of it, so that you go from tour of duty to tour of duty to tour of duty without ever having a break in putting your cyber skills to use. So that's exactly what the Marine Corps is doing here. They're creating a dedicated series of occupational specialties. They call it the 1700 series. Within that, seven different cyber-specific military occupational specialties, or MOSs, as they call them. And they're, importantly for both officers and enlisted, they go up to pretty high ranks. In the case of officers, they're going to have billets that go all the way up to the rank of lieutenant colonel, and in the case of enlisted personnel, all the way up to the rank of E9, master gunnery sergeant. So you'll be able to stick around doing cyber and pretty much nothing but cyber for a good healthy chunk of a military career. And again, that's important because these skills are super perishable. So you're going to kind of lose your expertise if you do defensive cyber operations for 2 years and then you get sent off to Bahrain for another couple years to go pull network cables or run a help desk or something. That's not the best way to run a cyber force, I think, is increasingly the recognition across the military services.
I guess the selling point there is that if they went into a private sector career as cyber, you're going to work for 20 years from deployment to deployment, so to speak, always doing cyber. You may change jobs, but there's no real let up in that. And so in the case of doing that for the Marine Corps, at least you're doing it with a different sense of purpose and with certainly a different type of people around you than you would be in industry.
Yeah, that's right. So you're on one track the whole time. And yeah, you're exactly right. People, especially in this field, change jobs all the time, but they're basically using the same skills more or less in theory. And these new career fields, or this new career field and these new MOSs, are kind of designed to keep people in one particular area to the extent that they want to do that. So there's a specific MOS on the enlisted side for defensive cyber operations that you can stay in if you want to for multiple tours, another one for offensive cyber operations that you could stay in for multiple tours, and then up at the higher level, at the officer level and the senior enlisted level, these occupational specialties are more for, I call them generalists is the best way to put it, I think, in the notebook item, where they're expected to have kind of an overall big picture view and expertise of how to run and manage both sides of the house, both offensive and defensive, and bring those tools to bear for commanders out in the field.
So if you do cybersecurity coming up through the enlisted ranks and you end up as master gunnery sergeant instead of an M16, you could say, well, my gun is port 25.
That's right.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much.
You got it.
Be sure to check out his notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.